You know, one of the characters that shows up in the Bible story that we often misunderstand is the wise men, right? Now, we normally assume that there were three of them because they gave three gifts, which they already took them already. But the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, or the fact that we've got this nifty little song about we three kings. But in fact, we don't know that for sure. We have no real reason to believe that they were kings, or even necessarily particularly wise. But there are a couple of things that we know about what the Bible calls the Magi. We know this: they were from a different country. The Bible says they were from the east, probably most scholars believe from Babylon, because that's a place where the nation of Israel spent about 80 years in captivity. So we know that they came from the wrong place. Secondly, we know that they were looking the wrong way, because the way that they were seeking after the Savior, the Messiah, was with astrology. And the Bible actually talks about astrology a little bit, but it never talks very positively about astrology. Like, there's a verse in the book of Isaiah, chapter 47, that says this: "All the counsel you have received has only worn you out. Let those astrologers come forward, those stargazers who make predictions month by month. Let them save you from what is coming upon you. Surely they are like stubble. The fire will burn them up. They can't even save themselves from the power of the flame. These are not coals for warmth. This is not a fire to sit by." In other words, astrologers, according to the Bible, it's kind of a waste of time. It's like, imagine you have something wrong with the plumbing in your house. So you could call a plumber, right? Maybe you could even talk to, you had the capacity to talk to the plumber that originally plumbed your house. But instead, you go to the plumber's house, and you go outside, and you talk to the plumber's car. Oh, Audi of wonder, Audi of might. Oh, great Audi, I beseech unto thee to help me unpluggeth my toilet. It doth stinketh. And then you listen to what the car would have to say to you. What does it say? It told me, you listen carefully, because this is a nice car, because it's a good plumber. Listen carefully, and he'll tell you, if you listen closely, your door is ajar. You're thinking, I had no idea that my door was ajar. I thought it was a door. But it's kind of like that. It's one of those things where we go, why are you looking here? Why are you looking for answers in this? Because it's empty. It's empty. You're looking for it in all the wrong places. But here's the thing. The Magi, they were the wrong people looking the wrong way. And God loved them so much that even though they were the wrong people and they were looking the wrong way, He took what they were looking with. Because, you know, people do the best they can with what they know, with what they've seen and what they've experienced. And God loved them so much that He led them straight to Jesus. And once they came to Jesus, they couldn't go home the same way. They were changed forever. Fast forward a couple thousand years, we've got all this history, we sort of know who Jesus is, but, you know, many of us are kind of like the Magi. Many of us don't really come from the kind of background or experiences where you just naturally fall into faith. Or many of us, if we're really honest, we've been looking for love in all the wrong places. I mean, one of the things I love about this church, you know, for whatever reason, God has kind of gifted it. We're sort of like the island of misfit toys, you know, with the folks that haven't quite fit in anywhere else. They find a spot here and get a chance to take their first steps of faith. I mean, that's just the most exciting part of ministry for me as a pastor is just seeing that. Because, you know, God, look, there's a Bible verse that actually God gave to his people while they were still living in Babylon and they were in exile. It said this, it's Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 13 and 14. He said, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will be found by you and bring you back from captivity." God loves the world so much, even though, I mean, please don't walk away from this going, "Hey, Pastor Andrew said astrology is a good idea." No, he didn't say that. But even when we find that we've been looking in the wrong places, God loves us so much that he's trying to bring you to himself. He's trying to bring you to Jesus. He loves you that much. You know, the real message of Christmas, I mean, there's all sorts of great things about it, but the big deal about Christmas is that God became a person. This little bitty person. That God can actually empathize with what you and I go through, all of the joys and pains of being human, all the stuff of growing up, all of the struggles in life. God gets it. He really gets it because he's been there. He's been here. He has been God among us. He's been God in the flesh, God in person. That's the big idea. That's huge. He came to do something for us that we could never do for ourselves. So for all the mistakes and all the things that we do that separate us from God, that he could take all of that stuff on himself and pay that penalty for us, carry that load for us, and completely empathize with us and life here. That's the mystery, that's the miracle, that's the whole point, that's the joy of Christmas. And, you know, just like the Magi, when we get that, when we just dare to believe it even a little bit, we cannot walk away. We cannot go home by the same road. We're going to be changed by it. And you're here. It's Christmas. And we've heard the message of Jesus. The question for each of us tonight is, how are we going to be changed by it? Or you might even put it maybe in the language of the Magi, of what gift do we give to Jesus tonight in response for what he's done? I'd like you to take out that little piece of paper you were given, and hopefully you have a pencil in your hand. Now, in the next couple minutes, I'd like you to do something. Think about doing something. On one side of the piece of paper, it says, "My gift to Jesus." The other side with the cross, it says, "This year I gave Jesus." If there's something, I mean, maybe tonight, you're saying, because, you know, God's not really interested in your stuff as much as he's interested in your heart. Maybe this Christmas, it's the year to say, you know, this year, God, I'm going to give you, as a gift, my gift to you, I'm going to forgive somebody. It's my gift to you this Christmas. I'm going to talk to somebody about my addiction. It's my gift to you this Christmas. I'm going to let some anger go. My gift to you, Jesus, this Christmas. I'm going to take a step forward in my faith. I'm going to, I don't know, whether, you know, try a Bible study this next year or come to church more often or whatever it is, whatever God puts on your heart. Just take a minute, would you? The pen in your hand. paper. And what I'd like you to do, I'm going to lay out the whole thing so you can kind of decide what you want to do with it, is to write the same thing on both sides. My gift to Jesus, and this year I gave Jesus, and write the same thing on both sides, and then just tear it in half. One part stays with you. And in a few minutes, with the other part, just as a, because I mean, don't put your name on it or anything, but just come up and just put it in the manger. What would you want to give Jesus this year as in response to what he's done for you? I'm going to hand over my doubts. I've got a lot of questions, God, but I'm going to hand them over and I want to make progress. Would you help me? Or maybe somebody tonight, you're going to write down the very best thing you could possibly write down on that. Say, Jesus, I'm going to give you myself. I'm going to put my trust in you in a new way, or maybe in just even in a fresh way. What would you give God tonight? What's the gift he would lay on your heart? Because just like the Magi, no matter how we got here, no matter what's your past, once we come to Christ, we can never leave the same. Let's pray together. Oh God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the gift that you, God, came to earth as a little baby to experience all of the things that we experience in life, and most importantly, to come as a human who completely trusted in you, God, and as God who was completely human, you did for us what we could never do for ourselves. That you gave your whole life, even letting your life be sacrificed on the cross, so that everything that separates humanity from you could be dealt with once and for all. And Lord, like the Magi, we don't want to walk away from Christmas unchanged. We want to walk down a new road because we've come to this point and to this place. So Lord, as we worship you by handing over to you a gift of a portion of who we are, whatever that might be, Lord, we pray that you would be glorified. Thanks for this time together. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And so while Lisa is singing, invite you just at your own time and pace, if you choose, just to come up and lay your gift. Lay whatever it is that God's put on your heart. Just lay it in the manger.